Welcome back. In this advanced lesson, we're getting into one of the most powerful and dangerous moves in drum and bass drum programming, three-break layering without phase issues for club mixes. This is how you get that expensive, rolling, alive drum sound, the kind of drums that feel like jungle in the movement, but still smash like modern D&B on a big system. But here is the catch. The second you start stacking two or three breaks, things can go wrong fast. Kicks get thinner, snares lose crack, the low mids turn to fog, and what sounded huge in stereo suddenly folds up in mono like a cheap chair. So the goal today is not just to throw three breaks together and EQ them a bit. We are building a proper Ableton workflow, one that gives every break a job, locks the important transients, controls the frequency overlap, and keeps the whole thing punchy, wide enough, and mono safe. By the end, you'll have a three-break stack with a clear roll split. Break A is your body and main groove. Break B is your top-end texture, hats, ghosts, and movement. Break C is your mid-punch, snare reinforcement, and dirt. And just as important, you'll know how to stop those layers from fighting each other. Let's get into it. First, choose your three breaks by function, not just by vibe. This is probably the biggest quality jump people can make right away. Don't pick three breaks that all sound cool and solo and all try to do the same thing. That's how you end up with three weak kicks and no actual groove leader. For break A, go for something that gives you the core rhythm, an amen-style break, a clean rolling break, something with a solid kick snare shape and a pocket you trust. For break B, think hats, ghosts, crisp top end, little bits of shuffle, maybe a think break, maybe a funk break with nice hat chatter. This one should add motion more than weight. For break C, look for crunch, old school compression, noisy room tone, snare bark, maybe a bit of roughness in the mids. This is your attitude layer. In Ableton, put each break on its own audio track, warp them all, and get them all sitting at your project tempo. For this kind of lesson, that's usually around 172 to 175 BPM. For advanced D&B break work, beat mode is usually the move. Preserve transients, set transient loop mode to off or forward, and start the envelope around 85 to 100. That usually keeps the attacks nice and tight. If one of the breaks starts sounding too clicky or weird, you can test Complex Pro, but most of the time beats mode keeps drums more punchy. Next, find the real start of each break. And I mean the real first transient, not the start of the file, not the little bit of silence before the first kick. Zoom in and trim each one so bar 1 begins right on the true hit. If needed, consolidate the clip so you're working from a clean start point. This sounds basic, but it matters massively. Even a tiny offset at the start can blur your kick and snare alignment later. In drum and bass, milliseconds matter because we're working with fast tempos, sharp transients, and a live layered energy. Now pick a master break. Usually that's break A. This is the break that defines the pocket, the timing, and the groove identity. The other two are there to support it, not negotiate with it. That's a really important mindset shift. If all three breaks have different swing and you try to preserve all of them equally, it might sound natural and solo, but in a club mix it usually just sounds weak. So break A is the boss. Now align the key transients. And notice I said key transients, not every single little hat and ghost note. Focus on the first kick, the main snare, the next kick, and the second snare. Those are the hits that define whether the stack feels expensive or messy. Use warp markers, clip start adjustments, and tiny nudges to line up break B and break C to break A. Turn the grid off if you need to and really zoom in. A great practical method is to solo break A and break B first. Listen to the kick with both playing. Then mute and unmute break B. If the kick gets thinner when break B comes in, you've got a timing issue, a low frequency overlap issue, or both. Nudge it by tiny amounts, really tiny, fractions of a millisecond in feel terms. Same thing on the snare. Ableton gives you a couple ways to do this. You can use track delay for super fine offsets, or adjust the clip position microscopically. Just don't overwarp the whole break until it loses all its life. That's the sweet spot in D&B layering. Lock the main hits, leave some of the hats and ghost notes a little loose. That's where the movement comes from. And here's a very teacher-type reminder: if a stubborn break just refuses to sit, stop trying to force the whole bar. Slice it first, align it second. Sometimes one old break has amazing hats but useless kick timing. In that case, keep the useful bits and ditch the rest. You are not morally obligated to preserve the whole original loop. Now we move into one of the most important stages: remove low frequency competition immediately. This is where a lot of club translation is won or lost. You do not want all three breaks contributing low kick energy, low mid thump, and snare body at the same time. Your sub needs room. Your one-shot kick, if you're using one, needs room. The stack needs a leader, so think of the frequency split like this. Break A keeps most of the body and core transient. Break B is mostly tops and ghosts. Break C lives more in the mids and upper mids for crunch and snare aggression. Use EQ8 on each break. On break A, high pass gently around 35 to 45 Hz. Leave most of the kick and snare body intact. If it's boxy, try a tiny cut around 250 to 350 Hz. On break B, be much more aggressive. High pass around 180 to 300 Hz, and if it's purely top texture, you can even go higher. If you want more air, add a small shelf around 8 to 10 kHz. On break C, high pass around 100 to 180 Hz. Dip some 250 to 500 if it gets muddy, and maybe add a little presence around 1.5 to 3.5 kHz if you need more snare crack. This audio version is shortened for playback.